Good afternoon, and welcome back to another episode of In the Garden, coming to you right here live on KFSK. I'm your host, Daniel Rowan Tucker. On this show, we dig our hands in the dirt, get back to nature, and find that special place of peace and beauty. Last night, I gave a talk at the Petersburg Library on the many benefits of hedgerows, and I want to recap that talk here as well as expand on a few important points. Hedges and hedgerows might seem like a very minor and mundane subject, but on closer examination, we find that they are living infrastructure that can fulfill an array of important functions for us, creating privacy and clear boundaries for people, habitat for songbirds, pollinators, and other wildlife, food production via fruits, berries, and other edibles, herbal medicines, and craft materials, safe containment for pets and livestock, as well as shelter from winds and storms and warmer microclimate. Without getting too political, I think it's fair to say that we live in uncertain times. Geopolitical events beyond our control have the potential to create major disruptions in the flow of petroleum products and, by extension, virtually everything that we get from beyond Mitkov Island. Thinking about how to grow and make more of the things we need is a great way to start reclaiming agency in our lives and to create a sense of hope rather than helplessness. The good news is that there's a huge number of plants we can grow here, and there are opportunities all around us if we can just learn to see them. We're surrounded by old-growth rainforest, which represents in itself a whole lot of natural resources, but there are a great many things we might want that aren't found in the rainforest due to its glacial history and low species diversity. Our native crab apples, for example, packed with flavor though they are only the size of a pea and take quite a long time to gather in any quantity. The hedgerows of England have been an important source of food, firewood, and other resources for many centuries. And to illustrate that point and give you a picture of rural abundance in a pre-industrial island nation in the 1600s, I'd like to share a passage from the first book printed in English on the subject of trees and forestry. This is a volume entitled Silva, or A Discourse of Forest Trees and the Propagation of Timber, written by a man named John Evelyn in 1667. So at this time, England was just beginning to come into its own, definitely not yet the world power that it would become a couple hundred years later. And it was very much an agricultural nation. Most people got most of what they needed from within 100 miles or less of where they lived. And it's just packed with an incredible amount of knowledge about how people used plants and trees and shrubs and hedges and woodlots in that time when they depended so much on those things for virtually everything that they used. And so there's a passage here where he's talking about the great benefit in a particular locality where someone undertook to plant lots of apple trees in all the hedgerows. So I'm quoting here. Undoubtedly, if this course were taken effectually, a very considerable part of both the meat and drink which is spent to our prejudice might be saved by the country people, even out of the hedges and mounds, which would afford them not only the pleasure and profit of their delicious fruit, but such an abundance of cider and perry as should suffice them to drink of one of the most wholesome and excellent beverages in the world. Old Gerard, and here he's referring to John Gerard, the author of the famous Gerard's Herbal. Old Gerard did long since allege us an example worthy to be pursued. I have seen, saith he, speaking of apple trees, in the pastures and hedgerows about the grounds of a worshipful gentleman dwelling 2 miles from Hereford, called Mr. Roger Bodnome, so many apple trees of all sorts, that the servants drink for the most part no other drink but that which is made of apples. The quantity is such that by the report of the gentleman himself, the parson hath for tithe many hogsheads of cider. the hogs are fed with the fallings of them, which are so many, that they make choice of those apples they do eat, who will not taste of any but of the best. An example doubtless to be followed of gentlemen that have land and living. But envy saith, the poor will break down our hedges, and we shall have the least part of the fruit. But forward, in the name of God, graft, set, plant, and nourish up trees in every corner of your ground. The labour is small, the cost is nothing, the commodity is great. Yourselves shall have plenty, the poor shall have somewhat in time of want to relieve their necessity, and God shall reward your good minds and diligence. Thus far honest Gerard. And in truth, with how small a charge and infinite pleasure this were to be effected, every one that is patron of a little nursery can easily calculate. But by this expedient, many thousands of acres, sowed now yearly with barley, might be cultivated for wheat or converted into pasture to the increase of corn and cattle. Besides, the timber which the pear tree, black cherry, and many thorny plums, which are best for grain, colour, and gloss, afford, comparable for divers curious uses with any we have enumerated, the black cherry wood grows sometimes to that bulk as is fit to make stools with, cabinets, tables, especially the redder sort, which will polish well, also pipes, musical instruments, the very bark employed for beehives. But of this I am to render a more ample account in the appendix to this discourse. I would further recommend the more frequent planting and propagation of fir, pine trees, and some other beneficial materials, both for ornament and profit, especially since we find by experience they thrive so well where they are cultivated for curiosity only. So that's a little taster. Hopefully you can follow along with his somewhat Shakespearean vocabulary. But just a little taste of how much people appreciated the uses of trees and hedgerows in that time, particularly his example of the apple trees planted in all the hedgerows and how that created an abundance of apples. Even the very hogs would eat none of them but the best. Anyways, I just think it's a wonderful picture. And I look around Petersburg and, you know, granted we don't have the same soils and climate of Herefordshire when it comes to cultivating apples, but there are a lot of things that we can grow here. And if we look at the town as a whole, if we look at our public spaces, there's also potentially some opportunities, with due diligence and due cooperation with the various entities that are charged with managing those spaces, the borough and the state and others. But certain places like along the bike path, along the Narrows, maybe some of our other trails and bike paths, there's places where there's a large linear area of well-drained soil with full sun, which is kind of at a premium around here, as any of our gardeners know. Getting that good drainage is probably the biggest battle that we face here in Petersburg and on Mitkov. And so there's potential areas where we could grow a lot of things, and especially in places along walking paths where lots of people are going by, and could potentially be a really great amenity to folks. And you know, just think of all the currants and gooseberries and aronia berries and crab apples and all sorts of things that we could cultivate, rose hips, and there's just so many different things once you start getting into it, and tuning into what does well here, looking at other communities in Southeast, what do they grow, what succeeds, what doesn't. If we look at what people are growing in Juneau and Hoonah and Ketchikan, you know, there's actually a pretty decent variety. We aren't in a great climate for growing a lot of fruit because of all the rain, but there are certain things we can grow that do quite well here. And in the realm of herbal medicines as well, there's a huge variety of things. Cascara sagrada, trying to think of the scientific name. It's a tree native to the Pacific Northwest that was so heavily harvested in the wild for its bark that it's actually now somewhat, not fully endangered, but somewhat rare, and I think the harvesting is much restricted now. But that's something that would probably grow quite well here. We've got some of those coming up for our bare root plant sale at Icefield Farm in a few weeks, and it's a beautiful small tree in its own right. But just thinking about things like that, you know, how could we make our community more resilient and find ways to supply more of our needs from right here without being completely dependent on outside sources? Because as it is now, you know, and I don't want to be a doomer, you know, the global economy has actually been surprisingly very resilient to this point. But, you know, we've experienced some price shocks and inflation in recent years, and I don't think that's going to be the end of it. So it's important to think about these things. And as we come up on another growing season, I hope you would feel inspired to look around you, you know, even beyond your whatever property you own or steward or cultivate. You know, look at our broader landscape, and use a discerning eye and pick out where are the opportunities, you know, places where there may just be a strip of grass that's being weed whacked and that nobody really pays much attention to. Maybe it's in a public place, and you know, maybe some kind of amenity planting there could have multiple benefits for the community, as well as for wildlife. You know, we're surrounded by old growth rainforest, and it's incredible, you know, and there's a lot of wildlife in those forests. But at the same time, there's not a huge amount of certain types of habitats of, you know, sun-loving flowering shrubs, for example. Our forests tend to be very much dominated by spruce and hemlock and cedar. They're very shady and damp, not always the best environment for all the different kinds of pollinators that are around. Some of our native shrubs like red osier dogwood and thimbleberry and stink currant, and we just have a whole slew of really wonderful native and near native shrubs that are just a cornucopia of resources for our insects and our songbirds and small mammals and large mammals too, deer and moose browsing, and you know, thinking about how we can create habitat and help out those other creatures can be a really fun project. You know, seeing those songbirds show up in your yard and grace your morning with their beautiful music, and the buzzing of the bees and the butterflies. You know, it might be hard to imagine now, buried in snow as we are, battling the ice and the snow and the winter that just feels like it doesn't want to give up the ghost and move on. But it will. The days are getting longer, and spring will be here soon. And it's good to, you know, start thinking and planning. Don't get caught in the spring rush when, you know, it's a week before Mother's Day and the sun suddenly just came out for the first time, really, it feels like. And everybody and their uncle is trying to get hold of some kind of green growing plant to have something to give mom on Mother's Day. And anyway, so those are just some thoughts I wanted to share with you guys. Again, thanks to everybody that turned out for the hedgerow talk last night. It was a lot of fun, and I was impressed with folks braving the cold and the snow. Again, our first iteration of the talk was postponed for blizzard conditions, and the second go around, it was not quite a blizzard, but there was definitely some snowflakes in the air. So thank you to the hardcore gardeners and plant lovers who were not deterred. And yeah, hedges have all kinds of benefits. If you're interested in that talk, you can find a recording of it on my Facebook profile, Daniel Rowan Tucker. It's about an hour there. All kinds of good resources, fun things to talk about. And until next time, I want to share my email address. If anyone has questions that you would like to hear addressed on the air about whatever subject pertaining to plants, soils, gardening, what we can grow here, what we can't, what's worth trying, what's not, why does my plant have yellow spots all over it? I will do my best to answer whatever I can and share resources. And feel free to email me with questions if you're not able to catch me on the air. My email is Daniel, Daniel, at icefieldfarm.com. That's icefieldfarm.com. And I'd love to hear from you. I never get tired of talking about plants. So thanks. And until next time, be brave. Spring is on the way.